We continue our learning. Learn the Nishmas David ben Menachem Shem Yad Yaakov v'Pidchos Eliyahu. We're in Edios Perek Aleph Mishnah Ches. We're going to discuss Karshine Truma. Karshinim translated as vetch. We have this in Seder Zroim, which is in the legume family. It's generally used for animal fodder, but b'shas adchak, a human being would eat it if he were really starving. So the laws of Truma, the pasuk says, "Va'anihinena sati l'ches mishmeres Truma." So when it comes to Truma, we have to safeguard Truma that it doesn't become tummy. So how do we treat Karshine Truma, since generally the Machal Behema and the Pasuk Nasati Lecha Mishves Truma Sa is referring to you, that which I give to you, which is Machal Adam. So to what extent do we have to safeguard Karshine Truma, considering that they're generally animal food and a human being would only consume it B'Shas Adchak? So Karshine Truma Beishamai Omim Shorin V'Shofin B'Tahara U'Ma'achilin B'Truma. Say Beishamai, and this, by the way, is here, it goes Beishamai, and Shammai will disagree, as we had in previous Mishnais. So Beis Shammai says that what has to be done with Tara? Shorin, which means soaking it, and Shofin, which is rubbing it on the skin. Some say rubbing is not rubbing it on the skin. It means that you're rubbing the Karshinim themselves to remove the peel. But this either way has to be done betara. You have to protect the truma like any truma that's normally fed to a human being and make sure it doesn't become tame. According to the Bartanuri, he says that we have an obligation to do netilas yadayim. So before a kohen eats truma, he has to wash his hands with a kli. So here too, you have to do this. You can't soak it or smear it on the skin unless you wash netilas yadayim prior to that. Uma'achilin bituma. But when it comes to feeding it to an animal, that can be done in a state of tuma. Why should that be allowed? So we said, because it's actually a chumrah that we have to soak it and smear it on the skin bitara and protect it from tuma and maybe wash your hands before we do that. But feeding to the animal, that we don't have to worry about. So when it's soaked and you rub it, so then smear it, so then you have to guard it from tuma, that is a chumrah. You're afraid, maybe you'll forget this is truma, you may eat it yourself, so that's a big problem. Or maybe you'll confuse it with other legumes which are for normally eaten by is machal adam. So, but when you feed it to the animals, it's very clear to everybody that this is karshinim, which is animal fodder. So you don't have to guard it from truma at all. So that's Beis Shammai's opinion. Smear it and soak it petara, but feed it to the animal can be done betuma. Beis Hillel omrim, even more lenient, shorin betara. We only have to soak it betara. V'shafinu machilim betuma. But smearing and feeding to the animal, that both can be done betuma. Why do we have to be strict? Why do we make a distinction between soaking it and smearing it? So Beis Hillel says only soaking the karshin in the state of tummy is a problem, because when you soak something, you not only do make it tummy potentially, but it's susceptible to tumma. It comes in contact with water. So that to make it mukshar l'kabel tumma, we know the seven liquids potentially, water, wine, bee honey, olive oil, milk, and dew and blood are all the potential liquids for which if a vegetable, let's say, comes in contact with those, now the vegetable is susceptible to tumma. So by soaking the karshinim, now it's susceptible to tumma. And if you're not going to safeguard it, it will become tummy. So because of both of those, we have to be strict. But just smearing it on the body, or rubbing it, or we said maybe removing the peel, whatever that meant, and feeding it to the animal, that can be done bitumma. Shammai omer, Shammai is the most strict, and they say, Ye'achlu tzarid. It has to be fed even to animals when it's dry. It cannot be mukshul l'kabel tumah at all. The language of the Baratunur here uses is afkan yochlu yaveshim. Let the animals have to do it dry, can't get come in contact with any liquid. Should be no liquid then. So it's not nicker, it's not recognizable that they're the mukshul l'kabel tumah. Now, maybe they could become mukshul l'kabel tumah, come in contact with water before, but they have to be dry when you feed them. They feed them to the animal. It has to be obvious to everybody that it is not susceptible to tumah. It's not wet. Rabbi Akiva, made the most lenient of all opinions, kol maase in betumah, he says that you can do all of the maase in betumah. We never had, there was no gezer at all that we have to treat this truma like other truma. This is animal food, and you can even soak it betumah, and certainly smear it, rub it, whatever that means, and feed it to the animal betumah. Perek Aleph Mishnah Tess, An example where we have the opinion of Beis Shammai, and as well, but we don't. We'll see. We don't see the opinion of Shammai here in this Mishnah. And the reason for that is because the next Mishnah, which also deals with Maaser Sheni, which is the topic of this Mishnah, is sort of a continuation. And there we do have Beis Shammai and Shammai disagreeing. So therefore, we have this Mishnah as an introduction to the next Mishnah, even though we only have Beis Shammai here and not Shammai. It says the Mishnah like this: Haporet Sela Mimos Maaser Sheni. You have a person who has a Maaser Sheni. We know is what's given. We discussed it in the Seder Zroim, is given in the first, second, fourth, and fifth year of the Shemitah cycle. The other 2 years, the third and the sixth, we give Maaser Ani. So Maaser Sheni is produce that we're supposed to give that 1/10 from our produce and bring it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. If it's too much to schlep, we can redeem it, to be mechalal it, to be poda it onto coins, and bring those coins to Yerushalayim and spend the coins there on food in Yerushalayim. Here we have someone who wants to change a larger coin to get smaller currency to spend money. So he has a large silver coin, a sela, which is 4 dinar, and it's maaser sheni sela. It makes sense. He wanted to carry, didn't want to carry so much change to Yerushalayim. So he has this sela, and now he wants to exchange that, to be porate that sela for prutos. That's where the word comes, porate, to have prutos, to have copper coins that he can spend that money in the stores in Yerushalayim. So here we have someone who's porate sela mimos maaser sheni. So this Mishnah's case is before he even goes to Yerushalayim, he has copper coins of Maaser Sheni, and he wants now to exchange those copper coins that have Kedusha of Maaser Sheni upon them onto a sela, onto a silver coin, so he can bring the silver coin to Yerushalayim to make it easier and spend that sela. And when he gets to Yerushalayim, he's probably going to exchange that again for copper coins. But here he's doing this for his trip to Yerushalayim, exchanging the Kedusha, the Maaser Sheni copper coins, onto a large silver coin of a sela. So Beis Shammai Yomim, Bechol HaSela Ma'os. Beis Shammai says, if a person has enough copper coins that equal the sela, so let's say, for example, there are 192 prutos, which is the smallest copper coin, a pruta, 192 prutos in a dinar, in a zuz, and you multiply that by 4, because there are 4 zuzim in a sela, and now you have all of those coins, 192 times 4, and now you have a sela. So if you have enough copper coins to equal the sela, that one large silver coin, so then he's able to exchange it. You don't need, after all, you'll only need prutos when you get to Yerushalayim. You don't need them on the trip. So you exchange all of them, and now you have a sela in your pocket. Uvesilal omrim, Bishela, Bishekel Kesef, Bishekel Mos. Beis Hillel disagrees. Beis Hillel's machmir and says, no, you can't exchange all of your copper coins for a silver coin. You should exchange up to half. A shekel, which is a half sela, a shekel kesef, and shekel mos, which means you should, if you have these copper coins, so you should take half of them. Half of them you can exchange onto a shekel, a half a sela, but the other half you should leave. And that's a silver coin of a sela, not the larger coin, a silver coin of a shekel, not the large, double the coin, which is a sela in value. So you're left with half of the copper coins that you had before. You exchanged half of the copper coins onto a shekel, not a sela, which we don't want you to do, and now you have half of the copper coins that you had. So when you come to Yerushalayim, why does Beis Hillel say this? Because when you come to Yerushalayim, what are you going to have to do if you follow Beis Shammai's recommendation? You'll have a sela, a silver coin, and now you're going to have to go to the Shulchani, to the money changer, and change it again in Yerushalayim. And by doing so, every time you do that, you end up, you may pay a little bit. So, and Maaser Sheni coins end up losing out. Or let's say the coins go up in price. So now Maaser Sheni also ends up losing out. You'll end up spending and getting less food for the money that you originally had. So this way, we want you to at least have some pocket change with you on your trip, so that when we get you Shalom, you can spend the money right away. Rabbi Meir Omer, Ein Mechalalin Kesef Uperos Al HaKesef. So another halacha, person has, from Maaser Sheni, has, let's say, a half a dinar of kesef. Dinar is a zuz. 4 dinar is equals a sela. Person has half a dinar of kesef, which is of silver, and he has fruit that's worth a half a dinar. And what he wants to do is, he wants to now join together both the fruit and the coin, and have b'mechalvem pode the kedusha of both on a full dinar. So you have a half a dinar of maser sheni has kedusha, and another half a dinar worth of produce of maser sheni kedusha on both of those things. And you want to be pode the fruit and that smaller coin on a larger coin on a full dinar on a full zurs. Says Rabbi Meir, you're not allowed to do that. Why? Because Rabbi Meir says you're not allowed to be mechalvem. It can't be pode Kesef Maser Sheni on other Kesef Maser Sheni. This is precisely what you're doing. You're taking already a dinar of Maser Sheni, a half a dinar rather, and you want to be podeh to the Kedusha of that coin on another coin. You'll say, aye, but I'm being podeh fruit along with it. I certainly have the right to redeem fruit onto coins. That's what we normally do, so we don't have to schlep the fruit Yushalayim. Says Rabbi Meir, because along with it is a coin, it's not allowed. Even joining together peros and a smaller coin, you can't have them joined together to be podeh them onto a larger coin, because you're being, bottom line is, being podeh one coin onto another coin. V'chachamim atirin. Chachamim say it's allowed. Since the peros, the produce here, is only worth a half a dinar, you can join the half a dinar worth of produce with a half a dinar of silver together to be poda them onto a full dinar, so you can bring that full dinar to Yerushalayim. However, the Chachamim would hold that if the peros themselves were worth the dinar, now they're significant, you cannot be po them, you cannot redeem them along with silver, along with coins on other coins. Each one has to be redeemed by itself. So for example, let's say you have a person who has a dinar for Maser Sheni, has a dinar kesef, as a zuz, full zuz of Maser that has Maser Sheni Kedusha upon it already. And he has peros, he has fruit that's worth a zuz. Because the kesef is already because the peros are worth a full dinar, now you want to join them together on a chatzi sela, so that the chachamim will not allow. You cannot michalel if you have peros that are worth a dinar, now you cannot join them together to be poded that along with kesef. So that full dinar of peros with a full dinar of money, of a coin, you cannot be poda that and join and transfer the kedusha onto a hefesela coin. That the chachamim would say is not permitted.